Now, when those of us without anosmia smell something, it's because tiny molecules have travelled up our nose and been detected by sensors. But how exactly this detection works has been the subject of some controversy. Luca Turin was one of the first to suggest that it's not the shape of the molecule, but how it moves that affects the signal sent to our brain and the odour we then smell. I caught up with him to find out how the current shape theory works.
The prevailing theory was, and to some extent still is, that the smell of a given molecule is written into its shape. Different receptors in the nose would each feel some part of the molecule and then report to the brain, so to speak. That was the prevailing view. And as I said, I'm pretty sure most people would still think that way. And I proposed a different theory.
What made you think that there might be something more to this idea of a lock and a key in these molecules just fitting together?
For a start, a theory is a labor-saving device in the sense that if one has a theory of how smell is written into a molecule and you happen to be making, let's say, smelling molecules for fragrance or flavors, you would know how to make one. You would know exactly what to put in a molecule in order for it to smell of rose or bananas or whatever. And this is absolutely not the case. In fact, the people who make molecules make thousands and can never predict the smell. The other major problem is the fact that we can smell chemical groups. Let's take an example with SH. The SH famously gives virtually any molecule it's in the smell of rotten eggs. How does it probe the fact that there is an SH in all of those molecules and not, for example, an OH, which would not smell of sulfur and would be of a very similar shape? So that was the thing that really got me interested and that could not be explained by a shape theory.
So if molecules which are so similarly shaped can smell so different, how does your theory differ from that?
Well, for a start, it's not really my theory. It was proposed originally in 1930s by Malcolm Dyson. And it was basically a very simple, how did a chemist in those days identify an unknown molecule? And the answer was you put it through an infrared spectroscope and you measure its vibrations. And the vibrations are very, very distinctive, and they tell you about functional groups, they tell you what's in there, and they also, each molecule, because it's the atoms are connected differently, will have a different fingerprint, so-called part of the spectrum. So Malcolm Dyson and others were struck by the fact that a spectroscope pretty much behaved like the nose, in a sense that it gave you the same information. Now, in those days, it was politely received, and in fact, it carried on being politely received for a long time. But as we knew more about the receptors and about biology in general, there seemed to be this insurmountable problem that there's no way of measuring the vibrations with a receptor. What I brought to this whole thing in 1996 was a straightforward biological mechanism, which in fact can deliver a biological spectroscope.
And so how do different molecules vibrate differently?
A molecule composed of, let's say, 10 atoms has, in the case of 10 atoms, it has 24 different vibrations. And if you arrange the same 10 atoms differently, you will find that the vibrations are being changed. A simple analogy of this is if you have two metal bowls of different shapes or different size and you hit them with a wooden spoon, they will make a different sound. The molecule, because of the springs connecting the atoms, will have a unique vibrational spectrum. And if you change the connections, the spectrum changes.
We previously didn't think that the nose and these receptors could pick up these vibrations. Is it just that our understanding of how biology works has proceeded? And you now think that the nose can pick up these vibrations?
Well, yes, there's been a considerable amount of interest in a sort of subfield of biophysics called quantum biology, which is the realization that in some parts of biology, you just don't understand what's going on unless you bring in quantum mechanics. Now, the mechanism that I proposed, it's a nanoscale mechanism that involves electrons jumping from one place to another in such a way that when they jump, they bump into the smelly molecule and make it vibrate. Then you can have a protein-based system that is capable of detecting the vibrations of a molecule that is bound to it.
And what evidence do we have for this? It's very nice to say these electrons are jumping from place to place. Presumably, we can't just look down a microscope and see that. So how do you do an experiment to work out how we're perceiving smell?
You're absolutely correct that insofar as we haven't been able to measure the electron movements inside smell receptors yet, much more modestly, what we were trying to do, in fact, we succeeded in doing the last couple of years, is to show that fruit flies can distinguish from each other molecules that are identical in shape and only differ in their vibrations. And the way you do that is actually very simple. You take a known molecule that has a smell, whatever it is, X, and you replace the hydrogens in the molecule with heavy hydrogen. Now, heavy hydrogen, also called deuterium, is exactly the same size and, of course, shape, so to speak, as hydrogen, but it has an extra neutron in the tiny nucleus in the middle of the atom, and so it's heavier. So all the vibrations of the molecule that involve movements of the hydrogens are slowed down because the hydrogens are heavier. So the big question is, do those two molecules smell different? And so we found that, yes, indeed, fruit flies could smell the presence of deuterium. And more recently, we've done the same thing with humans using musks, and we find that humans can tell them apart very easily.
You mentioned when this theory was first brought up in the 1930s, you put it that it was received politely. And your first experiments were met with a lot of criticism. There was one repeat of one of your experiments that found that humans couldn't tell the difference in smell between this hydrogen and deuterium. How have you reacted to that criticism?
Well, first of all, that paper was absolutely correct, it turns out. It appears that if a molecule is small, it has, let's say, in the case of the molecule that we're talking about, which is called acetophenone, it has only 8 hydrogens. And it's pretty clear that if there is a difference, it's too small for humans to really detect it properly. Our results confirm that study that said that you couldn't smell the difference in that particular molecule. But we decided to simply go to a molecule that has more hydrogens on the grounds that the effect would be larger. And that's what happened with musks that have 28 hydrogens. You find that people can smell the difference.
What future experiments do you need to do for this theory in your mind to become fully accepted?
Oh, I have absolutely no idea. Max Planck said people don't change their mind, they just die.
Many thanks to Luca Turin from the Alexander Fleming Centre in Athens, Greece. So our sense of smell might be down to tiny quantum vibrations in molecules. Ginny, are you convinced, or are you one of those people who's going to need to die before they change their minds?
I wouldn't go quite that far. It's an interesting idea, and it definitely seems to give answers for some questions that the shape theory doesn't even try to answer. But I think we need a bit more data before we can definitely be sure.
Probably. Well, one question that we are getting some answers in for is our teaser question. What links asparagus, your gas cooker, and the skunk? We've got an email in from Mark in Bletchley Towers who suggests maybe asparagus smells like skunkwee, and that's what's added to gas to make you be able to smell it if you leave the gas on. Good idea. I think I need that in my house because I'm constantly doing it. But perhaps not.
Yeah, well, actually, while we're talking about things that possibly don't smell all that pleasant,